Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For you. Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to everybody. So we just did 3 hours of straight coverage of Chaim Bloom's first press conference, and we're going to continue to talk about it a little bit here. Just I have a few things to get off my chest. Then at 1:30, we have Ricky Horton for our last hit of the year. We won't pick back up with Ricky again other than just, you know, friendly stuff until spring training. So I'm looking forward to that. Okay, the nice stuff first. Great job, Wheels, to you and all the guys. 3 hours of anything's hard. 3 hours on a 10-minute press conference is really hard. I was talking to Steve, and we both agreed that we got more from you guys than we got from the presser. And again, you guys know me pretty well. This is not a sports guy talking. This is just a fan talking who happens to have a radio show. I didn't get the press conference. Like, I thought Chaim Bloom sounded good. I thought everything he said was pleasant. I felt more like I was watching the introduction of the new Bachelor than watching like the new president of baseball operations. I thought every question that was asked, every single one, I thought, why are you asking that? Like, that's your best question? You have an opportunity to ask a question of the new, you know, president of baseball operations after everything we've been through, and that's what you ask. But I have the benefit of having Kevin Wheeler to go to. And Kevin explained to me that what I didn't get, and now makes sense, is that it's sort of selfishness. Like, every reporter in there is going to get a solo shot at Chaim.
Yes.
So they want to save their good questions for that.
I don't know if I would qualify it as saving your good questions, although that's kind of it. It's the right... That's an easy way of putting it. It's the way I put it earlier. But it's also, as an example, I might have a full line of things that I want to cover that I have, I think, will be a nice, like, step one, step two, step three. Well, I don't want to do step one and then come back an hour later when it's my turn for the one-on-one and have to restart all over again. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know what? Sometimes you do save your best material for the one-on-one and not for the group.
Yeah,
because then you're the only one that gets the answer if you're the only one that asks the question or explores the depths of that issue. So in a press conference setting, it can be hard to get to the best stuff because a lot of times people do, as you're listening to it, people have their own things that they cover, right? They have their own angles. They have their own ideas about which storylines they want to follow. And that kind of dictates. And when you're in a, you're always going to have a limited time in the group setting. Typically, they want to keep those around a half an hour. Typically, it's not a hard and fast thing, but one of the first things that the group pointed out, the team pointed out through spokesman Brian Bartow was, look, we will do this. Like, we have this, but everybody here, you will all get your chance to talk to Heim Bloom today one-on-one. He's set aside his whole day. He's going to talk to everybody. And then when you know that you maybe have one or two questions in that time frame in the press conference, right? I don't think anybody asked more than two questions because you're moving around the room. And then the hard part is you take your turn. Let's say I take a turn. I didn't, but let's say I did. And I ask about payroll. Well, the next person who gets called upon probably is going to change the subject because they have something else that they're going to do. So it gets to be a little scattershot.
And I get why that's good for the media. I don't think it's good for the fans.
No, and that's why you have to listen to us all day and find a podcast that you like and read Derek Gould and read Katie Wu and read John Denton.
You could just answer the questions while everyone's listening.
But not everybody's listening at that time. In fact, most people are not tuned in at 10 a.m. in the morning on a Tuesday. Yeah. Most people are going to see it in the paper or they're going to hear it on Sports Open Line, Redbird Rush Hour, DGS, Gas House Gang. Like, you're more likely, your bigger audience is going to be at those times for the people to hear it.
Yeah, as a fan, wasn't a fan.
As a fan, press conferences are typically useless. They're more an inside ball game, but they do it on TV because people are interested.
The most impactful thing I heard was when, and I forget who said it now, but someone said if the low attendance was a message, the message was received.
Yeah.
They needed to say that, and they had the balls to say it, and I'm glad they said it.
Yeah.
The thing I dislike the most, and as I told you, Wheels, earlier, it's the lawyer in me, it was when Mr. DeWitt said, Heim Bloom and I haven't even talked about the payroll. And immediately my sirens went off. If I were a lawyer cross-examining a person, I would say, either you're not being truthful or you're committing malpractice. Because I talk to my boss about payroll and budget weekly. And I just have a radio show. I can't imagine that being there 2 years and the ramp up and everything we've been through and taking over, and it's a whole new regime and we'll be playing baseball again in 5 or 6 months, that the owner hasn't talked about payroll with the new president of baseball operations. That doesn't make any sense to me. If you haven't, why haven't you?
Well, the question was about 2026 payroll.
Yeah.
That just means you haven't set a number yet. That just means you haven't decided, because they still are counting up the revenue and seeing where they sit. And they say, we have not come to the number that we're going to set for next year.
But not to be a jerk, but that's not what he said.
No, but that's the context of it.
What he said was, we haven't had a discussion about it.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the payroll, which specifically was a question about 2026.
Yeah, I would expect them to have talked about the payroll a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't have at all. That's probably why you didn't get a lot of follow-up on it, because they typically aren't going to box themselves in. An owner's not going to come out there and say, yep, I told him he's got X amount of dollars and that's it. They're not going to do that. They'll give you a ballpark. They might, like in the past, like last year it was, yeah, payroll's going to come down. Right. That's what they said last year. Payroll's going to come down. We're doing the runway. We're doing this stuff. We're not adding big money. They flat out said that. I think it's interesting that they did not say that today. Sometimes what's not said is also informative. Like, they didn't say, well, you know, yeah, we're bringing it down. Now, they may still bring it down, because one of the things that Heim Bloom talked about was that they're going to have to make some difficult decisions. That was the term that he used in the offseason. Difficult meaning who to keep, who not to keep, who to trade, who might be popular and good, but we still need to trade because our eyes are further down the road than 2026. That will all impact payroll too, right? If you're, say, for example, you trade Sonny Gray. He wants to go somewhere. He's good with where an offer comes from and he takes it. Well, that's going to bring the payroll down quite a bit, and I wouldn't expect you're just going to turn around and spend it there. You're going to try to spend it where you think you're going to be able to make the most impact on it when that time comes.
I get all that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be doing a better job than he did.
Well, again, I agree with that. Every team in sports needs to be better at communicating. The problem is you're just not going to get that coverage in a press conference. That's the stuff that takes all of the things I just mentioned to get sorted out. One-on-one interviews, stuff over time. I don't know what they've done so far as organizational meetings, because the season ended Sunday And they usually do this week where you're having organizational meetings where the field staff gets together with the front office and they get together with the player development and they go over everything. And they're having meetings to figure out what to do about this, who's close, who's not. So I don't know where they are in all of that either. And some of that was, you know, some of that plays into, you know, Mo's thing yesterday, Bloom's thing being today. I'm not sure that they've covered all that ground in a day and a half after the season ended. And that's not that they don't have the takes or the opinions or the evaluations of everything. It's that they haven't all been able to come together to do the meetings that they normally do. You're not going to do that in 24 hours. So that's partly why you're hearing we don't know the payroll, because there's still stuff they're not done with yet.
Ah.
It's the truth. People don't like it, but it's the truth, man. And every team in every sport would tell you the same thing.
I don't expect them to, 3 or 4 days after the season ends, to have everything. But I doubt what you're saying in that they're not the super friends. They're not the Avengers. Like, they don't have to be in the same place at the same time to discuss these things. I would think this would be an ongoing thing that on this Tuesday, September 30th, they would have a better idea together of all this stuff.
They do, but they haven't met with all of the player development people who have been in Springfield and in Memphis and in Jupiter and in Peoria. And you've got people that are new to the organization, and you're going to get, I mean, like, this is the part that I know is really dull and boring for fans, and fans just like, I don't care. Don't tell me how the sausage is made. Just put it on a bun and hand it to me. Right. But the fact is that this is what every team does after a season. They all get together, and in the week or two after the season, they meet and they have in-person meetings and they'll argue and fight. That's where Mike Schilt got in trouble. It was during those meetings where he probably ruffled a few feathers too many, and that's what led to. So, I mean, like, if that tells you anything, where the manager, who's there every day, all day, and he's in the same place as the front office, the owner, the president, the GM, they're all there together. They're all at Busch Stadium. That's where they live all season long. Even there, you can have something that didn't come up before that comes up in that setting. And that's, and the hard part is, everybody wants answers, and I do too. But I never expected to walk away today having all those answers. Today's the beginning of learning about this stuff.
And if I left you with the impression that I was also looking for all the answers, I misspoke.
No, I get what you're saying.
I wasn't looking for all the answers.
I'm speaking to the larger group of people because I know how people get. You didn't answer this. They didn't answer what the payroll is going to be as just one example. What does it matter right now? They're not going to be acting on it until the World Series is over.
I can't get the Wash U out of my head.
The lawyer Dave is out.
There's a big difference between what you said. Hey, of course we have discussed the payroll, but we don't know what it's going to be yet. And when we do, we'll discuss it further. Well, then we'll let you know. But to say we haven't discussed it yet, just like, I don't know. The whole thing kind of left me a little bit eye-rolling.
I get you, and I know you're not alone, and I'm just saying that statement means nothing. It doesn't change a damn thing about what it's going to be or what it's not going to be. It doesn't have an impact on what this offseason is going to be or what the rebuild's going to be. It's just frustrating, and this is a thing that I've said for I don't know how many years. I mean owners, I mean executives, I mean players, managers, coaches, everyone. They all need to do some communications classes. They need to be better because this is how you get misunderstandings. This is how you take somebody who has a predisposition to be, I mean, I've seen a lot of this stuff on Twitter, the predisposition to be mad about Ollie being back because he is going to be back based on what we learned today. No surprise. We all kind of knew that. We knew that because we get context clues. We hear Ollie talking about meeting with Heim Bloom. We don't hear him worrying about, you know, or talking about things as if there's an end this week or anything along those lines. We can pick up on the context clues. We kind of knew that. Yeah, okay, it kind of became breaking news, but it was also what everybody knew was going to be the case. But then immediately there's pushback. People are mad about it, but they don't even understand what they're mad about. They're just mad that the team's not good enough. And when you're in this kind of a position, teams as a whole, and I think Bloom did a pretty good job at this today in terms of being clearer in communication. I think that's always been something that ownership, not just this ownership, but ownership always struggles with it because they're very rarely in those situations. So they're going to hold back more. They're always going to be on the quieter side. They're typically going to not want to give anything away because what they're afraid of is something that's going to be held against them. As I forget when it was. Oh, yeah, it was so when they fired Mike Matheny, and Bill DeWitt was doing the press conference after that and said, you know, yeah, we had a winning record, but that's not good enough here, right? Well, that became something that came back at him a bunch of times in questions about the team under Mike Schilt and the team now under Ollie and the team as it's gone along the last 6, 7, 8 years. And I think that kind of stuff makes them hesitant.
So I would just say this, again, as a fan, you have to know that most fans, I disagree with you, most fans, this is going to be the universe of what they hear, is the press conference. Mm. I think a lot of people tuned in for that. And I don't think they did what they should have done as a fan in the press conference to let the fans know what's going on. I thought it was kind of happy, happy horse crap.
Hmm.
And I think it was mostly for the sports guys, kind of inside baseball, no pun. But sitting there listening to it, I was left wanting. Quick break, right back.
I'm aching now. I'm aching now.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
DTS 123. Ricky Horton joins us at 1:30. The time information that John Rooney will be talking to Chaim Bloom,
yes.
And we may be getting a part of that to play on DGS.
Yeah, it's kind of the first full sit down radio interview that Chaim's doing is with John Rooney for us. Yeah,
good, excellent. Good discussion. I'm glad we can do that here in the DGS.
Yeah.
I know more now than I did. And part of my opinion was uneducated, but I think...
Part of it's dead right, too, though.
I think part of it's right on.
Yeah.
You made an interesting comment on the break here when you said that the fandom is different today than it was in the past.
Sure.
That it was more casual in the past.
It was because you didn't have social media.
Right.
And because I was talking about, you know, the Whitey ball time, right? And Whitey's, I mean, look, that was an amazing time in Cardinals history. It was unbelievably fun. It was its own brand, right? I mean, it's named Whitey ball because it was its own thing and it was special. But they had as many losing seasons during Whitey's time as they had the entire time that Mo was in charge here. And that's not to pick on Whitey. Whitey is deservedly viewed as one of the greatest managers of modern baseball history. He is that. But it's about the perspective. In the late 70s, early 80s, even late 80s, when you're getting into the end of the Whitey ball time. Even then, you didn't have every game on TV. you might have had 30 games a year on TV. So you're not seeing it. You're not, unless you're in the ballpark. And by the way, attendance back then wasn't what it's been here lately. It had just started to go up at that time. If you didn't get it, you weren't getting the day-to-day exposure of seeing everything happening. You were hearing it on KMOX, right? You were listening to Jack Buck. You were hearing the call. That's a different thing than seeing it. And then you take out things like message boards and social media and all that. And Bernie brought it up last night, and it's the truth. I got here in August of 2006, and amongst the first things that people were yelling about when I got here and started doing Sports Open Line was that Tony La Russa needed to be fired because he'd been there 10 years and hadn't won anything yet. And people were, you know, I'd get the comments like, I think he's the smartest guy in the room because he went to law school. I bet it was a sham law school thing. That was the conversation about Tony La Russa in late 2006. What happened 2 months later? Everything changed because they won the World Series. And even then in 2006, you didn't have Twitter. You didn't have the access to everything. You might have had some message boards, which is what Bernie Miklos was referring to when he brought that up. He talked about how the vitriol was there in the early 2000s on the message board that he ran for the Post-Dispatch. Just nonstop fire Tony. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's an arrogant jerk. He doesn't understand St. Louis. Well, he's an outsider. He doesn't live here during the offseason. All this stuff. Now he's St. Tony. We don't have perspective. I don't know why. I don't know why we don't remember those things, but they existed. They were real. And that's why all of this is hard, right? As a fan, you've got to be able to separate what's frustrating you from the context of a team's history and the sport's history. And if you only live in the moment, you will only be two things. You will either be ecstatic or pissed off. You will never be in between if you don't consider the bigger picture. Because you're either going to be the team that wins the World Series or not. And the way a lot of fans look at it is, if I'm not winning the World Series, it's a failure. Well,
so if I were a lawyer, you would be a great expert witness at this. Do you think that, what are the percentages of fans who understand the history and the percentage of fans who just are living in the moment?
Oh, I think a bigger percentage than we believe knows it. They're just not the loud ones. The loud people are the people I'm speaking of. And it doesn't mean they're even wrong. Right, you can be valid in a correct in a criticism, but be wrong about how far you're going with it. Right, it's a fair and valid criticism, and we've all voiced it that the Cardinals were, the easiest way to put it was they were negligent in letting the system get the way that it was, in letting their franchise get to this place. But that doesn't mean that the great stuff didn't exist for the 20 years before it.
Yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Twice a week, we have our pal Ricky Horton, one of the voices of the Cardinals. And last week was our last official one, but because he's a good guy and our pal, he's doing one last sort of a wrap-up for us. Rick, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. Well, you know, I'd be missing you guys if we didn't get the chance to do this, and it's a long winter. But yeah, no, it makes sense to wrap up things, especially after the press conferences the last 2 days with John Mozeliak. Kind of doing his last kind of hurrah, and then Chaim Bloom today. I mean, it made sense.
So Wheels and I just had a really good disagreement discussion about the press conference itself. I readily admit I'm not a sportscaster. I don't know a lot of the art of it, but as a fan, it left me wanting a little bit. As a broadcaster, what was your reaction to Chaim Bloom and the DeWitts?
I actually liked it, and here's why. Well, actually, last year's press conference was not good. I think there was high expectations that there was going to be a lot of change and movement in different directions with not only with the coaching, but with Mo himself and with Yadier Molina. There was a lot of this kind of odd kind of expectation that really kind of came out of maybe nowhere, and then it left everybody wanting, and it's so. And we didn't hear much from Chaim Bloom. He was there, but he didn't talk much. But I just think he's so compelling that I think it was good this year. Honestly, I think him kind of setting the stage. Now, it was, you know, it wasn't anything earth-shattering in terms of any decisions that he's made. I mean, he's been in the job for, you know, 24 minutes. So, I mean, he's not going to tell you, you know, I'm doing this, you know, already. But I think I just liked his positivity. I actually liked his leadership. I thought he said a lot of things that were high-level leadership stuff that I think will bode well and will resonate well. And I think he's, you know, kind of understanding that, you know, connecting with what it means to be a St. Louis Cardinal and be a Cardinal fan is also good. And I think I really feel like he's very engaging when he speaks.
I agree with that. Let me ask both of you something, and it's something that Bernie Miklas brought up on Gas House after the press conference. And to paraphrase Bernie, what I heard him say was basically, we got to come to terms on this rebuild thing. Like, you guys don't seem to want to say it, and we're saying it. So I'm asking the two of you, does it really matter what we call it, or is it important?
Well, I'm going to say internally you don't want to say rebuild because you're basically saying we can't win. That's why it's different. I mean, I think externally you can say, okay, the Cardinals are not going to go out and sign Shohei Ohtani for $8 trillion. I mean, no, they're going to do that. So if that's what we want, then, and if that's our definition of what a rebuild is, no, we're going to develop from within. Well, developing takes a long time. This isn't the NFL, where a guy goes right from college to be your starting quarterback the next year. We drafted a guy last year. We got all excited about him because he throws 110 miles an hour. But but it's going to take him 2 years to be anything. We won't even see him for 2 years. So it's a longer process in baseball, I think. But I think what he said, I think, was really key, what Haim said today, is he said sometimes when you build for the future, when you make decisions mm-hmm. that are 5 to 10 year down the road decisions, sometimes you get what you want quicker. And I think, you know, I would think Whitey Herzog did that. And I actually like the fact that he brought up Whitey Herzog, honestly, selfishly, because that's my people. And for him to say, look, we get Cardinal fans. We get how exciting that was. We get George Kissel. We get, you know, Ranch Rickey, who he was. We are going to develop players. But when we say develop players, you know, they understand it. Rob Trifoglio understands that that's not an overnight task.
Right. And he made, you know, Haim made the point that they need to get back to developing their core players. So think of what led to the successes from the early 2000s until a few years ago, it's because you had guys like Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina. Right. And you traded for a young Adam Wainwright, and you finished his development, and he spent his entire major league career with you. They have to get back to that. And most teams, I don't care if you're big market or not, don't compete without that. You know, I mean, the Yankees aren't the Yankees without Aaron Judge, who they drafted and developed. And, you know, it's not that, you know, the bigger teams have more freedom to go get more big free agents out there. But none of those teams, including the Dodgers, including the Mets, are going to be what they want to be if they don't have that homegrown core.
Yeah, so you need the homegrown core, and then you need to make good decisions. Actually, if you have the homegrown core, then you can deal them to get an Adam Wainwright or to get somebody that matters.
I mean,
nobody. So you think about where we were at the trading deadline. We were moving on Phil Maton, who we had for 5 months. We were moving on Steven Matz, who had been hurt a lot. We were moving on Ryan Helsley, who was having a bad year. I mean, it's not like we were dealing, you know, kind of our next level big time prospects either. So I feel like, you know, if you develop well, other things happen well too. And, you know, one thing I actually really liked more than anything that we've mentioned so far about what Haim said is he said, you know, you can't cut and paste Tampa Bay into this. So I think he was drawing a line that I'm not going to say we're going to get JJ Weatherholt for 2 years in the big leagues, get him to his maximum value, then get rid of him and go get somebody else, necessarily. Now, if it fits, it fits. But he was recognizing that Cardinal fans kind of like, we like our guys. I mean, we want to know that they go to Deerbergs and Schnucks. I mean, we want them to eat Emo's pizza. I mean, we do. Honestly, we do more than any city in baseball times 100. We want that. And I think he sees that and heard that and knows that. So he's not going to be just a wheeler dealer and, you know, give you 20, 25 new faces every year that you don't even know. I mean, I feel like he was tracking that pretty well.
Yeah, it was interesting because it was a question about, you know, how in Tampa, basically, once a guy gets to his fifth year, they trade him because they're not paying to keep him. And he, where you said he drew the line. He drew that. And he said, yeah. But we don't want to do that here.
No. He's like, you know, we're not going to have Yadier Molina and have him be a good player, get rid of him. Pujols be a good player, get rid of him. Wainwright. So because that does, it really does matter here. I mean, our Cardinal Hall of Fame is a big deal to us. I mean, you go to Tampa and they got their Tampa Hall of Fame is like three people. I mean, it's just they're not.
And one of them was mostly a Red Sox.
Mostly, and Wade Boggs is their main guy.
Right.
I mean, that's 100% right. And so I'm not criticizing them because I think his point is you do what's right for your situation. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned the word leadership. I heard several, in my opinion, and I'm not the expert, but several high level leadership directions in the things that he said. And I feel like that's going to resonate well with Cardinal fans. I do think he admitted also, look, we're not what we should be. We're not.
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty blunt about that, as was Mr. DeWitt.
Yeah, that was the first thing he said.
Yeah, so
yeah, exactly.
This is the perfect day to do this because we're doing our wrap-up with Ricky Horton on the day that we were introduced formally to Chaim Bloom. Later on, we're going to have at least a part of an interview that John Rooney has done or is about to do with Mr. Bloom. Let's do this as an exercise with the three of us. Let's take stock, mm-hmm. like pretending we are going to buy the Cardinals. Seems to me like the good things we have going is we have a few core group of players that are capable and are a positive impact.
Yes.
We're making changes. We're spending money. We're really turning around the analytics and the down in Jupiter and all the toys that the boys and the coaches have to play with. That's positive. We have a new voice. He's a strong voice. He has a good track record. What am I missing? What else is on the plus side?
On the plus side, I feel like you've got good people. You have a good infrastructure and a good history. I mean, you have a good history of people. And I thought Chaim was trying to say that in terms of not only his kind of his staff that he's assembling and is already in place, but just the whole kind of the experience of being a Cardinal employee is very positive. Not every team has that infrastructure, I guess. So I think infrastructure is a good thing too, and that includes minor league infrastructure. You've got a great place to be a minor league baseball player in Springfield and in Memphis. So I feel like there's some good other things in place structurally that maybe you just didn't mention this.
Yeah, there's just so many things that the problem is they're under the surface, and that's kind of what Bloom referred to today.
Yeah.
So not only have they hired different people like Rob Serfolio, you know, some of these other guys that have come in for player development, they've hired more people. They were short. They were short staffed for years. They've hired more.
Kevin, woefully short.
Yes.
I mean, we were robbing Peter to pay Paul. We were signing Lance Lynn and you know, Kyle Gibson, and not having a catching instructor in the minor leagues.
Right.
Not having a catching instructor in the minor leagues is criminal in my mind.
Yep.
I mean, you can't do that. You can't have Ivan Herrera get to the big leagues and try to learn how to call a game in the big leagues. You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I think that was a disservice to him.
Yep.
But it was also practically the only way to say, well, maybe we can get in the playoffs if we get these two pitchers and we only have X number of dollars. So I think we're spending money differently.
Yes.
And I think it was a good move to do that. And so it's just a, you know, and they've used the word retool. You can use whatever word you want, retool, rebuild. But I think they were reallocating, honestly, resources. That's maybe the best word.
Yeah. And I think if we dig, you know, on what's happening that we're not seeing, you know, there are all kinds of groups, ESPN, MLB.com, Baseball America, that rank farm systems. Before the year, the Cardinals farm system would have ranked 20, 21, 22, 23, 24.
Yeah.
It's now getting into top 10 range because a lot of the player development things that put into place have started to have an impact. Leo Bernal had a big breakout year at AA as a switch-hitting, power-hitting catcher. Raniel Rodriguez is 18, already hitting bombs at A-ball, and he should be in high school. That's how young he is, and he's already tearing it up. Liam Doyle is in the system. Joshua Baez just blew up. And this, again, because you're getting better instruction, you got the tech, you got all that, you're actually getting something out of what you already had, and we're seeing it before this transition even began.
So what Dave asked, which I think is a great question, is what are we doing right? I mean, I think you always have to ask kind of what's working on this spaceship as a great line in Apollo 11. But then again, you know, you also have to confront the brutal facts. What's not working, and what's not working is we can't hit home runs. We can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find those guys and do whatever you can to continue to develop the possibility that you're going to have some 30 home run guys in your system, and go find some more. I mean, I think we definitely need some pop. We need some threat. We need some thump in the lineup. And I think, again, having a focus on that is I think where they're going.
All right, buddy. We had a great year with you, and we look forward to next season. If we don't talk to you again, have a great off season.
You guys are the best. Thanks.
back, guys.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS on KMOX. So, Kevin Wheeler, take your passion for baseball and talk to me about Superman.
Oh, my God. I sat and watched the new Superman movie last night. I watched the whole thing. I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't bail. I was angry from 15, 20 minutes in. I just hate watch the whole thing. I did not expect it to be bad. I didn't want it to be bad. I was hoping it would just be okay. Some of it is, but it just sucked. And at the very beginning, I don't want to do the spoilers. I don't want to do too much. But there are things that are holes in the plot that I can't get past. And one of them is, and this has happened with other Superman movies too. Why do we have to write Superman like he's a three-year-old baby? Why do we have him act like he's a complete moron? When the actual story of Superman is, his mind is as strong as his body.
Good point.
And his mind moves as fast as his body can move. So why is he an idiot? I mean, like, that's my basic non-spoiler summary is, why do you make Superman so stupid?
That was my take. Andrew disagreed. Janelle disagreed.
Oh, like, good.
And it's like, there are parts of this I'll say more off the air because I don't want to spoiler, and I don't want to spoil anything for people that are going to see it. It's not entirely terrible. It's not entirely, but... I get hung up on certain things, and it bothers me the whole movie.
Because you got no whimsy.
No, it's not whimsy. This was clumsy. See, this was what it was. Is you got to shoehorn Superman into a plot that somehow creates tension, so you got to make him seem like a moron for that to happen.
So, okay. All right. So, let's follow this train of thinking that Kevin's got going here. What in your mind is the correct Superman movie, then? He just shows up, and he's, like, super great. And he's super cool, and he's really hot, and he whoops everybody's ass, and then that we just watch that for like an hour and a half. No conflict, no concerns, no worries.
You got to
just super. Somebody's robbing this grocery store. Well, Superman's going to show up and whoop him back the next week, and then he's going to head over to that jewelry store robbery.
It's not hard, and we've seen it in some of the other movies.
Whoop him back to next week.
It's not that hard, and we've seen it in other movies that are better. What do they do differently in Avengers? What do they do differently in, like? Well, it's a little different because it's based on books, but this is based on comic books, so it's not that much different.
But again, follow what you're talking about, there's no one in the Avengers that is all powerful in the way that Captain Marvel is shown to be.
Okay, Captain Marvel is basically Superman.
Okay, first of all, this is the stupidest thing we've ever
Thor is a god.
Second of all,
it.
Here's what it looks like. I don't even want to have this very
I know you
stupid
don't.
Argument.
Andrew's
but the point
completely different since he has a nice car.
Yeah, he's above it all.
He won't even argue about comics
he's
anymore.
He's not going to stoop to your level, Kevin Wheeler.
I guess what I'm saying is, I don't. In what way did they turn him into a baby?
What's that?
Yeah, that was going to be my question, too.
He
goes,
everything he does in the first half of this movie is like a three-year-old learning the world for the first time.
It's not a three-year-old learning a world. It's a guy who's trying to do the right thing.
That's not what I'm talking about. The whole character, he's super naive, and he's always like, well, but it was the right thing. Instead of explaining things and going through channels and understanding how the world works, because you're supposed to be as smart as you are strong.
Yeah,
you don't just get to do things and be like, but I thought it was right.
Yeah, that's like an important part of his character in this movie, is that he was raised
in... no common sense?
No, he was raised by the right kind of people in America.
Well, wait a minute.
The message about how great America is.
I saw his parents.
I gotta say, and also...
And they raised him to do the right thing.
Do people in Kansas talk like that?
His parents look like sister and brother.
They were sister and brother.
I mean...
Well, that explains a lot.
Probably. Like, they looked like it.
I mean, he's from Kansas, right?
Yeah.
Why do they sound like they're from Kentucky?
Well, if he was from Detroit, he wouldn't be complaining like this.
Missouri and Kansas aren't that different. We don't talk like all that down we're south. I mean, like,
I have met so many people from the state that talk like
that. Yeah, I'm going to agree with Andrew on that one.
Did you find it a little disturbing during the love scenes because Lois Lane looks just like our Rachel?
There was a love scene?
Yeah, there's a lot of making out going on.
That's a love scene.
I mean, they were like floating in the air for a minute.
I was uncomfortable.
I'm like,
during some of those kissing scenes.
I didn't really clock it that way. I was like,
those two were going nuts on it. And it's like, you two have got to, you are on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kept seeing on, I have not seen the film, full disclaimer, but I kept seeing on Twitter, people were like, they would do press together, and their chemistry is so potent that people are like, aren't you both married? You should probably
both of you
chill.
Are married to other people. Her husband made some waves a couple of weeks ago because he liked a comment that somebody had posted on Instagram that was like, man, this girl was out of control with this dude in this movie. And he liked it, and people were like, come on, man.
And to be fair, I didn't have any problems with Superman himself. Like, the actor was fine. But to me, a lot of it felt like watching Natalie Portman in the Star Wars movies. You're like, this person can act. What's happening here? Why is this stupid?
Annie, no.
Yeah, I'm not.
It had that exact same vibe to me.
I'm not totally convinced that Mr. Cornsweat can act. I think he was good in this movie. I don't know if he really struck me as a good
actor. I think he was
actor.
Better than the position he was put into, because I don't understand why they do that. And I do. Well, I do. Because you have to create tension, because otherwise, you know, he's Superman. It's hard to beat Superman, but it should be hard. It should be like damn near impossible, but you got to retrofit him into this idea that you had and make him seem like a child.
Well, that was one of the big problems you had with it, right, Dave, is that this man gets his butt kicked across the whole city.
Yeah, like, I got it. I understood the story arc, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now I have to watch it.
Yeah,
I was not planning on watching, like... Honestly, any superhero movie ever again.
Yeah.
But now I have to watch
it. Yeah, don't watch it with your parents in the room. Yeah. Like, I was...
Send Kurt to go roller skating.
He's gonna I don't like that guy being close to you.
I have not seen anything on screen that made me, like, literally, like, uncomfortable as those two making out.
The good news is that Kurt could beat up this Superman, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, pretty much anybody could beat up this Superman.
Ah, he was fine. He strikes a large enough shadow. He's a big guy.
Yeah, no, I thought he was a great Superman, but it is, I don't think there has been a Superman movie where he gets whooped as much as in this one.
And again, I don't even have a problem with that, although I want to know how, I can't, because it'll be a spoiler. There's the whole thing about the opening fight sequence, that's what pissed me off first, and I was done after that, and then the next three things made me even more mad.
You must be a lot of fun to watch movies with.
I was quiet.
Kevin's really cute.
Quiet.
Kevin's really cute because his film criticism does suffer a bit because he refuses to give out any spoilers of any kind.
I will not do that.
So he just screeches to a halt sometimes and goes, well, I can't talk about it. And it's like, well, that would support your argument, though.
We'll do this again in a year, and then I can let it go. Just let it rip.
Should I do this? I don't know how I'm going to do my Gelman Live without screaming. The energy is palpable in here. Last night when Kevin texted us about Superman, I heard it.
I did too.
I might have swore a little bit in there.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.